All right, welcome back to Cairo Nights. On the line right now is Stacey Jo Rost, a.k.a. 4-Day Weekend. Stacey Jo Rost, this this hour of Cairo Nights is brought
AKA
to you...
a.k.a. Slacker.
This hour of Cairo Nights is brought to you by Chef Store. Stacey Jo, we got a ton of emails from people from the segment yesterday, mostly younger people. And I want to thank everybody for sending us an email at 973nights@gmail.com. I read them all. And although we don't have time to go over all of them, because there were many, many, many people ranging in age from 12 to 16. I got a very
12?
Nice.
12?
Yeah, a 12-year-old. And a very nice email from a 16-year-old girl. And they're all so sweet, and they're all so nice. And they all say, well, I used to listen to NPR, but it was so dry and boring. And then I found Cairo Nights. And everybody always says that they love the segment with you, and they love Stacey Jo Rost, and they think that you're the best, and they say nothing about me. They hate me, but they love you. So,
much like Taylor Swift, young people are my target demographic. That's what I'm going for.
So, and to keep it with the youths, to keep the topic with the young people who like to listen to Cairo Nights, Target stores have decided to stop selling Pokemon cards after the rising value has prompted threats to staff. I know this sounds like an Onion article. I know this sounds totally fake, but it's in The Guardian. Yeah.
Okay, so wait. Tell me if I'm getting this right. Yeah. So, people are threatening Target staff members, like, if you don't get these back in stock, you don't get this Jigglypuff in here, I'll kill you and your family. Or are they like, what does it mean threatening staff over this?
So the decision came after a man pulled a gun during a fight over trading cards in a Target parking lot in Brookfield, Wisconsin on the 7th of this month. Yes. Police say...
What are these cards worth? Am I in the wrong business?
They're worth... Some of these cards are worth up to like $20,000, $30,000, Stacey Jo Rost.
I need to go get some yesterday.
The decision comes after a man pulled a gun during a fight over trading cards. I already read that portion. It says that a shopper at the time was at the Target during the parking lot incident, and he told Fox News that at the time, it was just kind of sad for the kids. It sounds kind of ridiculous that adults get into a fight in the parking lot about trading cards. And the Target has come out and they confirmed the decision in a statement to everybody saying, we're no longer going to have these anymore. They said that the safety of our guests and of our team is our top priority. And out of an abundance of caution, we've decided to temporarily suspend the sale of MLB, NFL, NBA, and Pokemon cards. Trading cards.
All cards.
All cards effective starting.
Birthday cards.
Birthday cards. Get well soon cards. Bar mitzvah cards. All gone. It's starting today. So guests can continue to shop and get these online, but not in the store anymore. So now there's a couple of theories as to why people are freaking out about Pokemon cards. And the idea is that when COVID-19 hit, a lot of Gen X and millennials were trying to find things to do. And so they started getting into trading cards again because they were so bored. I don't know how much I buy that, but that's the idea behind it.
It's trading cards slash just the early 90s are back for a lot of Gen Z kids because they don't know about the 90s. And so it's the same way that for a while I was like, oh my God, G. Scott, check out my acid wash jeans. And he was like, what? Why is this? It's not cool.
I'll say this, too, is that because you and I often, inside of Stein's mind, we go down the rabbit hole of talking about what was cool then, what is not cool now. I think that for a lot of people, when they were younger kids, they weren't able to buy the cool card that they wanted or the car that they wanted or the whatever it was. And now that they're rich and famous, like you and I, Stacey Jo Rost, you can go out and you can buy literally whatever you want. Now, if you're lazy or if you have very small needs like you and I, Stacey Jo Rost, you basically buy nothing other than like maybe clothes on occasion. But some of these people... Just to give you an example, there's a specific guitar model out there. It's the Tom DeLonge signature model, which was released in the early 2000s. It came in like pink and Daphne blue. He was the guitar player for Blink-182. Of course you know this, Stacey Jo Rost. And
of course.
This guitar has something like quadrupled in value. It was originally like a $600 or $700 guitar, and now it's going easy $4,000, $5,000. because all of these millennials and Gen Xers now say, well, I want the guitar that I wanted when I was a teenager. And so the market value goes up.
Jack.
Yes.
I'm flustered.
Why?
So, okay, let's just cycle back to the cards really quick.
Yeah,
so
sure,
Pokemon cards.
Sure.
So Gen Z and millennials. Millennials, I'm using heavy quotes because I'm a millennial and I don't know. And I'm like smack dab in the middle of the millennial age where like there's people like 36 are millennials and then like 25, 26-ish. So
yeah.
I'm right in the middle.
Right.
I don't know anyone that's like heavy on Pokemon. Like they did the Pokemon when the game was big like a
what?
Year ago. But
You weren't heavy into it? Because I went mad for it when I was a kid. God, stay.
No, I never got into any collecting cards.
But you,
just,
you weren't
maybe
into
you had
the,
to have friends.
You weren't into the Game Boy. You weren't into the nothing.
No,
like that.
No. What I was into when I was little was as follows: coloring books, drawing pictures of birds, hanging out by myself at recess.
Wait, so
oh, you know what? Actually, I will say making friendship bracelets. I was about it. Making those little braided bracelets and little geckos and animals.
Stacey,
only people that are between the ages of 28 and 32 know this.
You're telling me that you were in no way, shape, or form, you weren't obsessed with My Chemical Romance, or you weren't way into Taylor Swift or anything. You were just kind of like, bleh. I'm
definitely not Taylor Swift.
Okay.
Definitely not Taylor Swift. I went through a very brief scene moment, but no.
This is what's so weird about this, Stacey Jo, is that it seems like you as a child, and please take this in the spirit in which it's intended, were kind of like boring. Like you just kind of like lived your... Please take this in the spirit
yes.
in which it's intended.
No,
please.
It is. No, Jack, I need you to understand
yeah.
that my afternoons as a child was going home from school, watching Maury, and like eating dinner. Like basically, I've been a 35-year-old single woman my whole life, and I don't know anything else.
So how do you then go from the 35-year-old woman who watches Maury Povich after school and, you know, waits?
Yeah, it's an amazing show, so be careful.
So, but now you are literally at the forefront of your
of
field.
Of what's cool.
Of what?
Yeah, of what's cool.
You're on AM sports radio.
You know why, Jack, actually, and this is something that both you and I can relate to.
Yeah.
Stuff that wasn't cool when we were younger is now cool. Like, do you think that watching... Game of Thrones. First of all, Game of Thrones is a book series, certainly existed when we were younger.
Yep.
But like all the stuff, like comic books, Game of Thrones, sci-fi fantasy stuff, all the stuff that was not cool when we were little is very cool now. So all that happened is that being boring and a homebody became cool. That's all that changed.
What?
And so now when I say something like, oh, I can't wait to go home and take my pants off and sit on my couch and watch TV, people are like, that's hilarious. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's incredibly unhealthy.
So, Stacey Jo, why haven't you decided to change any of these habits in your life?
Because
say...
I like it. Because there's so much. The Netflix catalog, then it's so amazing. There's so many shows to watch. Why would I change anything? Look how far it's gotten me.
So,
you know what I mean?
But you don't say to yourself, well, I want to get really into CrossFit, or I want to get really into baking bread,
God.
Or I want to get
the
into...
only... So, we'll say...
Yeah.
Did I pick up any new habits over quarantine? I got really into yard work. So, all I did was like... it got even worse. I got really into Home Depot, Jack. Really into Home Depot.
Stacey... This is we have to coolify your life, Stacey Jo Ross.
I feel like we need to contact these kids back that are emailing us and be like, actually, we need a favor.
Well,
we need you to make Stacey cooler.
Okay, Stacey, when was the last time you did something that was kind of dangerous? Not, I'm saying empirically dangerous, but like dangerous for Stacey Jo Ross. Like, when was the last time you tried a beverage from a foreign country, or you? I don't know, you went to a store or a bodega that you don't normally go to.
I mean, I did. I had a burger that a friend made that looked a little red.
Doesn't count.
And it was a little pink. And I thought, I'm very, very scared of food poisoning, Jack. I'm always very afraid of food poisoning. I have to have things so fully cooked. And I think the last time I really risked it was taking a bite of a burger that looked a little pink. That's being daring for me.
I mean, when was the last time you, I don't know, got really drunk? Or when was the last time that you went out with your girlfriends and you guys were out until 2 a.m. and you, you know, when was the last time you did something out of the box for Stacey Joe Ross?
The last time I did something out of the box for Stacey Joe Ross. Wow, that'd be a great segment title. I don't know, Jack. I mean, we went wine tasting and oh no. Yes.
See, okay, let me tell you about my day today, Stacey Joe Ross. And this is how I live life on the edge. Okay, this is my day. Okay. I had just got done running about 7 miles and doing a tremendous amount of body weight exercises. I'm basically like Christian Bale in American Psycho. I'm sweating profusely, and as I walk down the driveway to my home, I notice a group of squirrels and they're playing, and I go, oh, isn't this so cute? Look at all these squirrels. So I decide, I wonder if the squirrels will let me engage in their fun game, because they were like running around in a circle. I know this sounds silly, but I thought, I wonder if the squirrels will accept me into their community.
And what if squirrels are actually like land dolphins?
Yeah,
like they're
exactly.
Naturally social.
Exactly, because they were playing and they're running around, and I thought, what if I ran around with these squirrels? Would these squirrels befriend me? Because I've seen enough videos on the internet of people making friends with wild animals to know that there's a, you know, I could take a bit of a risk here. So I start running at the squirrels, and I start jogging up to them, hoping that they accept me into their little cadre of squirrel buddies. One of the squirrels, who was the brown squirrel, there were several different squirrels, this one was particularly brown, sees me and does what I can best describe as kind of a crouching tiger, hidden dragon maneuver, where it flies up into a tree, bounces off that tree, and comes right for my face in attack mode.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
No!
In attack mode. I panic.
Oh, I'm afraid of everything.
I panic and reflexively, I'm not a fighter, I reflexively do a right cross and hit the squirrel.
Stop.
Out of
Stop! This isn't real. Jack, this isn't real. This didn't happen.
I swear to God, this happened to me earlier today.
I don't believe you. This did not happen.
And I slap away the squirrel and it falls to the ground and they all run away. So I say that to say this, Stacey Joe Ross. Sometimes you have to be a little dangerous to open up experiences in your life. Now, if you don't know this, as I didn't know this, that occasionally squirrels, when they're in their mating ritual, i.e. running around in a circle trying to mate, get very, very aggressive. And this is what happened to me today when a squirrel tried to fly at my face and I had to bap it out of the way. True story, Stacey Joe Ross. I live life on the edge.
Okay, I'm going to make a list of proposals where it's like, make Stacey as cool as Jack Stein list, like where I get to experience moments from like cool teenage Jack's life. And it's not going to be drug use, but it will be something like maybe I steal a bottle of nail polish after I'm going to leave money at the door. I'll consider it.
Right.
Another thing could be, go outside without a bunch of sunscreen on, or maybe one day I put on a TV show I haven't seen before. No, you know what I mean? Like, it just Stacey, something I'm thinking about here.
You gotta
could
like
be.
You gotta like really. You see, Stacey, this is gonna be my new mission: is that you have to put yourself in a circumstance where you can tell a story about a squirrel trying to attack you. And people say, no, that never happened. And then you say, yes, it absolutely did. You have to put yourself in a circumstance where you have an anecdote or a dote, as I like to call them, which is, it shows the huge experience of the human. This is going to sound like a big circle, but the human experience. You have to show people that Stacey Joe Ross can live outside of Stacey Joe Ross.
I'm going to order a spicy cocktail. I've always wanted to be spicy cocktail person or smoky cocktail person. Those people seem so cool. Instead, I'm like, oh, I'll do a margarita. Jalapeno margarita? No, just a regular. Maybe one with strawberries.
Okay, let me. When was the last time you went on like a blind date, Stacey? Or when was the last time you took.
There aren't blind dates anymore. It's 2021.
Right,
are you kidding me?
Like, when
every date is through an app. Oh, actually, no, Jack. I did go on a blind date.
Oh.
And I'm going to tell you,
yeah.
It was not a great date. And so that is why I don't take risks. It's not this person's fault. It's because I'm afraid of authority and death. And so this actually is unrelated, but I did go on a blind date one time. It was someone who was set up. I hope that no one related or with knowledge of this person is listening. We went on the date, and it's not that he was unattractive or not polite. It's just that I got the feeling like he did not want to be there. I did not want to be there. It was set up through a friend of a friend who it was like his boss's grandson. And so it was like a weird kind of like, oh, he's new to the area. I know a young woman. He can go on a date with her and she can show him around the city. And so it was this weird, like, arranged marriage type date. And it was so... Anyway, so I show up, and at one point in the date, he starts choking. Jack, he starts choking on a drink that he's ingested, and maybe it went down the wrong pipe. And I'm just sitting there thinking, like, I hate this. That's it.
Stacy, you know. This is what we need to do. I need to actually go to the studio. Here's what we'll do, Stacy Jo Ross. I will come to the studio, and we will record the whole thing. But I will show you how to live life on the edge. We'll go talk to homeless people. We'll run away from crack addicts. We will
wear leather jackets. I do have fake leather jackets because you have to think about
perfect.
Just you know, okay, perfect. Fake leather jackets.
Maybe we'll vape a little bit. We'll vape not marijuana, but we'll vape tobacco to be really kind of on edge.
I worry about aging. I worry about premature aging.
It's just one time.
I have a lot of fears. I'm afraid of a lot of things.
We'll go see an R-rated movie. We'll do things that you don't normally do. We will go experience life on the edge. Because, Stacy Jo, I have been to the edge, and it's amazing. You have to have the limit experience with me, Jack Stein. I'm not talking about getting coked up and throwing up in a cab. I'm talking about just going out and experiencing life, Stacy Jo Ross. I bapped a squirrel away from my face today. Think about the life that you could have, Stacy Jo Ross. We could go out and we could, I don't know. You ever just like randomly decide to take an Uber somewhere and then walk back?
No. What?
Yeah.
No.
You ever walk into
this awful.
No, this is the way that you have experiences, Stacy Jo Ross.
I don't. Like, what if you get lost? What if someone kidnaps you? What if I get kidnapped and held hostage in a place and someone has me there for 8 months, but then I somehow break out and then I get this lifetime deal and I start thinking, wow, I can't believe this has turned around. People are talking about this story, but suddenly I have all these like weird things about being kidnapped and then I just deal with all this trauma for forever. I don't want that. I don't want to walk outside. That could happen to me.
See, Stacy, this is why we have to do it, because I'll be like Aladdin. I'll show you the world on my magic carpet. I will show you.
Will Sarah and Little Boo Bear be there?
Of course they will.
We make it like a family affair.
Of course. We could make it a huge thing where Boo Bear is there and Sarah is there and Sarah can tell you all about how she treats drug addicts. And it'll be an amazing experience. And speaking of Stacy Jo Ross, we have to get out of here. Thanks so much, Stacy Jo, for explaining to us how we're going to fix your life. We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back after this. Alright, welcome back to Cairo Nights. So before we get into the story about Chipotle increasing their average wage to $15 an hour, Shane, you have a ghost story. I have a ghost story about when I worked at a radio station that was, it was an old RCA building, but I kind of want to hear what your ghost story is before we get into my ghost story. So you were telling me during the break that at one point in time, your mom moved into a house that was actually haunted by spooky, spooky, spooky ghosts?
It was haunted by one ghost in particular. So when my parents divorced when I was 8 years old...
Wait, let's not like skip over. Like, so you're saying definitively that your house was for sure haunted by a ghost. That it was for sure 100% there was a spirit there.
Me, my mom, my brother, and all my friends that used to come stay the night over at my mom's house all have had some sort of weird experience happen, but nothing outrageous. So my mom moved into this house after my parents got a divorce, And it was built in the mid-1930s. And the spirit that lived in the house was the man who built the house and had lived there since the 30s. And his whole entire family lived there. And we were the first family out of his family to live there. And the weird thing is that you would just hear walking all throughout the house in the middle of the night. That was one of the only things that he used to do, is that he would walk into the kitchen and kind of touch stuff, but would never do anything super freaky. Like, we never had, you know, stuff fly against the wall. I had one of my really good friends growing up, my buddy Jonah. He would spend the night at my house a lot. And we woke up one morning and he goes, "Dude, I'm almost positive there's a ghost in your house." And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "I kept hearing people walking. I saw something out of the corner of my eye move past me really quick." And he was literally stone white. He's like, "I woke up in the middle of the night to the sound of somebody walking, and I didn't know what was going on." And I used to have the same experience, because I had the room closest down the hall closest to the kitchen. So I would hear it the most. And I used to get paranoid about it and think that there were people there. And I used to walk out in my house to see if there was actually anybody walking around, whether it's my brother or my mom. But this old man, all that he did was just kind of hang out, stroll around, and he was very peaceful, but he definitely made it known that, you know, that was his house and he never really planned on leaving.
See, so this is the weird thing about spirits and ghosts, and I understand that we're supposed to be doing news right now, so I understand that we're supposed to be talking about Chipotle with the $15 minimum wage. Just so everybody knows, before I get to my ghost story, Chipotle made a decision to increase the minimum wage to $15 an hour because they were in trouble. Shane, have you heard anything about this? Because I've been following this story now for a couple of days. Basically, people at Chipotle were being treated very, very poorly. Their overtime wasn't being marked. Their wages weren't up to snuff in many states. And so a huge group of people who work for Chipotle, the ground level workers, decided that they were no longer going to show up to work. Now, as a consequence of that, Chipotle had a terrible PR week. So they came out today and they decided to raise their minimum wage to $15 an hour. And I will say this, Shane, that I think that this is good news whenever employees decide to make a decision about how they should be treated by a particular business. Now, with that being said, now that we've gotten the news out of the way, when I worked at a different radio station in Santa Cruz, California, there was a building that had been built. The radio station was built in the 1940s. It was an old RCA building. It basically was like frozen in time in so many ways. It didn't have any modern soundproofing. The AC was from the 50s. The finishing on the wall was from the 50s. It was this old, decrepit building. And the night guy was a guy whose radio name, now some people have radio names, but this guy's radio name was Chris Spencer. And Chris was older than I was, and he wasn't like an altogether there kind of dude. He was kind of conspiratorial, loved to quote Alex Jones, stuff like that. Kind of a tall, gaunt guy. And I remember him showing me how to do the night shift at one point in time, and he said, "Don't ever go into the back of the radio station if nobody else is here." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Because there's a ghost that lives back there." And I said, "This is tomfoolery. I won't believe this for a second." He says, "No, if you go into the back where all the old records are, where all the transmitters are, there is a guy, this ghost out there." And I said, "This is just foolishness. I don't buy into this whatsoever." So one night in particular, I'm there by myself, and I start getting the heebie-jeebies. I start getting the creepy crawlies, as it's known. And I think, there's got to be someone else in here. And then I remember what Chris Spencer told me. I'm on air. I'm chatting it up. I'm there by myself. Nobody else is in the building. And then all of a sudden, in the back, I hear, boom! I just hear a slap, and I jump out of my chair, and I turn off the microphones. You know, Shane, when you're the only person operating the board, there's something about a reflex that happens, and my reflex was to turn off all the microphones, and I ran to the front, of the station. My adrenaline was going through the roof. I was panicking, and so finally I got it in my gumption, because the dead air alarm was going off. For people who don't know, at a radio station,
you shut off like everything.
I shut off everything. All the mics, everything. So no commercials, no nothing. And so I run to the front of the radio station, to the front office, and I think to myself, I have to go back and I have to turn on the satellite feed so everybody that's listening just doesn't get dead air until the morning show. I knew that I could leave, but I had to go back there. So I, this is so silly, but I went into the maintenance closet and I got a mop.
No, you didn't.
Yeah,
you armed yourself up against this ghost. Have you seen the movies,
well, yeah,
Jack? Have you seen what happens when you fight ghosts? It's just going to go right through them.
So for whatever reason, I thought that this mop, which also probably had been there since the 1940s, was going to protect me against this ghost. So I go into the back, and because I have to go into the back to where the records are to turn on the satellite feed. So I go into the back, and I'm walking, and it's really quiet. And I'm like, what was that noise? Who is back here? So I start saying stuff. I start going, hey, 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 I called the police. I'm lying, right? I didn't know what I was doing. And I'm looking around. Nobody's there. And I look, for some reason, I look over in the corner, and a piece of tile from the ceiling had fallen. A huge piece of tile from this old 1950s building had fallen and had broken all over these records. And I thought, oh, okay, so that's what the noise must have been. And right as my heart rate starts going down, boom, another tile falls from the ceiling and lands right next to me. And I ran out again. I ran out again, and I did not turn on the satellite feed because there was no way I was going back in there again. So that was my creepy crawly story that I had when I was at that old RCA radio station. And I'll never forget that feeling of going to Chris Spencer the next day and saying, hey, bud, you were 100% right about the ghost that lives in the back, because he was none too happy that I was back there ripping off tiles out of the ceiling. So, you know, these old radio stations, man, they got stories.
Oh,
they got stories, and they got stories. Speaking of stories, by the way, we have to take a really quick break. When we get back, we're going to wrap all of this up with Frank Shires and Shane Peterson. Stick around so that we can all salute Frank Shires. And, yeah, we'll be right back after this. All right, time to wrap all this up with Mr. Frank Shires and Shane Peterson. My arm does not feel so hot, you guys. I'm just going to be honest with you after getting the vaccine.
A little achy?
It's a little achy, and the missus said, because she's not here right now, she said, well, I want to stay with you to make sure that you're okay. And I said, I'm fine. I'm fine. Go spend time with your friends. You don't need to, you know, wait for me to be fine. And now I feel like calling the missus and saying, I don't feel good. Come home. Come home.
Wow.
So the other thing that's on my mind, though, Frank Shires, is that everybody in the text line keeps talking about how they're going to miss you.
Aww.
And I will miss you, too, Frank Shires, thank because you. How am I supposed to start the show now? Every time I start the show, I go, welcome to Cairo Nights. And then I immediately go, Frank. What am I supposed to do now?
You're going to have someone else that you'll be able to harass, and it will happen sooner rather than later, and it'll be fine. They won't put
Frank,
somebody...
I need a chummy person. I need someone who can, you know, because when I go, Frank, what do you think about this thing? I know 9 times out of 10 that you're going to say, this is the way I think about this thing. That's what I need from somebody, Frank Shires.
I think you'll... I'm pretty sure you'll get that.
All right.
I'm very sure.
So, Frank Shires, by the way, 253 says, Dear Frank, I will really miss hearing your true and honest evaluations of movies, news, peace out, !
Sweet. So, I like that.
That's for... So, Frank, what's on your mind, sir?
You know, how can I not have it on my mind that this is the last Thursday that I'm going to do this show, and tomorrow night is going to be the last night. And like, as you would expect, I have... you know, mixed emotions about it. On the one hand, I am marching off into a perennial vacation, which sounds pretty good to me. Flip side of that is I've done this for a long time. I really enjoy working with you guys. And I am not wild about letting go of that. But one is necessary for the other.
Well, Frank, maybe we make a list of benefits, one of them being... is that now you can wake up before 8 a.m. if you so choose. Now you can actually enjoy mornings with your lovely wife, be available to your lovely daughter even more than you already are. I mean, there's a list of things that you could do, Frank Shires, that are cartoon. I know you don't do commissions, Frank Shires, but I would very much so like it if you do a did a caricature of me.
Oh, my God. Don't tempt me.
Okay. Because I think that would be hilarious for the Cairo Knights instead of the picture that we have now, which makes it look like I'm fat and I'm at a school photo.
I love it because of the hat. I love the hat.
Yeah.
You're like the guy in the, what is it, the Progressive commercial? The guy with the giant long hat? Or
yeah,
is that
he looks like guy with the giant long hat and the big sandwich.
And they, and she draws the picture and then says, what do you think? And he goes, I don't see it.
It's not a very good photo at all, and they really need to do a different one.
Remember, they didn't change it for a long time until I wrote a very polite, but hey, maybe we ought to change this note to them.
I think the picture's fine. I just think the fashion choice with the ball cap and the tie is a little bit contradictory for me.
I like it.
Yeah.
But never trust me for this. Fashion advice.
It's pretty embarrassing, to be honest with you, in every way. I might just Photoshop myself into the skyline of Seattle like I'm Godzilla or something like that. That might be pretty funny to do. Shane, what's on your mind, sir?
So after living in the state of Washington for 5 years, today in the mail finally came my Washington State driver's license.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Now, usually in the past, I have been impeccable with looking my best for the driver's license photo. This new photo, I don't know what it is with Washington State. You make everybody look pale as a white horse with these flashing cameras. But I haven't shaved since the middle of ski season. I've decided just to go full mountain man with the beard and my hair. And I look like a terrible fill-in for a Geico caveman commercial. Like, it's awful. And I wore a black shirt and I have a black beard and like really dark brown hair. And it just looks so bad that I want to try to get another one really bad. Because all the rest of them been on point. But this one, it's rough. So I'm going to have to live with it for I don't know how many more years. But I'll hope to not leave Washington. So I might be able to renew it someday. So that's all that's on my mind.
My driver's license photo looks like a criminal intake photo because I was still really? Using – it's really bad, Frank. I was still using drugs at the time, so
really?
I'm just blown out of my – yeah, it's like – this is from – God, it's got to be 7 or 8 years ago, so I'm just blown – because I haven't need I've been putting off the whole real ID thing as long as I possibly can because I refuse to waste my life in the DMV. Or wherever, right? I just don't want to do it. So maybe now I can get a new one, but there's something about having to sit there and having people just waiting for your number to pop up that it's a slow death for my soul, Frank Shires. Traffic, waiting, lines, I can't do it.
I have a great suggestion for you, though.
Yeah.
Fashion suggestion?
Yes.
Baseball hat and a tie.
Can't go wrong.
They won't.
So, Frank, here's the thing about my head that I'll also point out to people is that I have a very good looking face. It's amazing. But without something to cover the top of my head, it looks disproportionate in photos. It's so immaculate in person that when you try to photograph it, I kind of look like Mr. Peanut, like someone cut Mr. Peanut in half. Okay. It's not exactly a very flattering photo.
I see. Well, there it is.
So, all right, Frank. Well, so tomorrow will also be a very special day as we remember Frank Shires, comma, American hero, colon, remember Frank Shires, parentheses, 2021. That's what we're going to be doing all day tomorrow. No, I'm just kidding, Frank. But we will be dedicating the 9 o'clock hour to Frank Shires if you want to text in and chat with us about Frank Shires. We bid him adieu in his final hour of radio. So until then, I say goodnight for Mr. Frank Shires and Mr. Shane Peterson. We will see you tomorrow. Goodbye. And when you're in danger, take a look over.